You have a line to Attorney General Josh Call here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. So we're touching down on a bunch of issues involving the state Justice Department. Legislation stalled in the Assembly on sexual assault kits. The State Elections Commission held in contempt for not scrubbing voter rolls as ordered by a judge. And we'll start with human trafficking, a growing statewide concern, and now a new report out from the Attorney General. Human trafficking involves the use of force or coercion to move someone, typically to make them have sex for money. Do you see situations in your community where sex trafficking is a troubling issue? Are you in law enforcement? Where do you see efforts to track and stop the sex trade? What are the challenges? We're at 800-642-1234. Josh Call is Attorney General of Wisconsin, and he took office a year ago. Attorney General Call, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So new data on the state Justice Department showing a real inconsistency how law enforcement are handling sex trafficking crimes. What is going on here?
So the report that we released contains data that was collected from law enforcement agencies around the state regarding how those agencies are responding to human trafficking. And I think the biggest takeaway from the report, which is a really positive one, is that there is a growing recognition among people in law enforcement, and I also believe among the public in general, that human trafficking is an issue that impacts communities across the state of Wisconsin and across the country. The number of law enforcement agency heads who identified human trafficking as a significant problem increased significantly from a study done in 2013 to this report, and also the number who believe that it's happening in their jurisdiction has increased. And I don't think that that's because there's been a significant change in the amount of human trafficking. I think that's because there's an increasing recognition of the importance of taking this issue on, and that what historically may have been viewed as a prostitution case in many cases is actually a case where somebody's a victim of human trafficking.
So what do you see as additional work that needs to be done to address this issue in Wisconsin and stop some uneven reporting from one community to the next?
I think one of the things we need to do a better job of is collecting data generally about this crime. One of the things we talked about in our report is that we still don't believe that we have a great sense of what the overall numbers are around the state, and that's for a few different reasons. One is the definition of human trafficking under federal law is different from the definition under state law. But also, from a law enforcement perspective, it can be difficult in some cases to determine whether a case is one where somebody is engaged in prostitution or if upon further investigation, they realize that somebody is a victim of trafficking. And so one of the things that law enforcement made clear in their survey responses was that they'd like to see more training to help with that issue. And so, we're going to be working with law enforcement around the state to figure out how we can improve data collection, but also how we can do training. Because what I want to make sure we see is that if there is a possibility that a case is a human trafficking case, that additional resources are going to be put into the investigation so that we can work to get to the bottom of those cases and hold the people who are the most serious offenders accountable, and that's the human traffickers.
Attorney General, let's move on to voter rolls and the litigation there. The State Elections Commission being held this week in contempt for not eliminating more than 100,000 from the voter rolls as ordered by the circuit court judge. What do you want to see happen there?
Well, first, I think it's critical that, that our central premise here be that we want to make sure that nobody who is eligible to vote in Wisconsin is deterred from voting so long as the approach that's being taken is consistent with the law. Our right to vote is a fundamental right in our democracy. And what the Elections Commission did was they saw what happened in 2017 when the data that's at issue in this case was used, and they made a decision that they weren't going to be using that same type of data to purge voters from the rolls now. And there's a suit that was brought, and while a circuit court initially said that that purge had to happen, just recently a court of appeals stayed that order, stopped it from going into effect, and it also stopped the circuit court's contempt order from going into effect by staying that. So the case is still ongoing, but you know, my view is that the position that the Elections Commission has taken is consistent with the statute, and that they're doing their jobs appropriately. And you know, we'll see how things play out in the courts ultimately.
Yeah, because you know, there is an election in weeks from now. Is this a concern that we may not have all registered voters able to cast a ballot?
So the order that had been issued was stayed, which means essentially it's temporarily blocked. So right now, nobody has been purged from the voter rolls pursuant to what was that circuit court order. And so, you know, I think that the process will continue to play out probably over a course of months. But if people are concerned about the status of their voter registration, they should check on that. They should go to myvote.wi.gov.
Yeah. We're talking with Attorney General Josh Call, moving through a range of issues as we look ahead at 2020, back at 2019 with issues involving the State Justice Department. You can join in 800-642-1234. What do you think of state procedures for transmitting, processing, and storing sexual assault kits? Do you think the current legislation to better track these kits goes far enough? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. So, Attorney General, the Assembly Committee on Health held a public hearing without discussing legislation on sexual assault kits. You had requested that this legislation be brought up since it was introduced last May. What is going on here with this bill and untested sexual assault kits?
Yeah, I was disappointed to see that the Health Committee didn't take that legislation up. You know, the state of Wisconsin had a backlog of thousands of untested sexual assault kits, and that led to a statewide initiative that led to the testing of the kits in cases where there was consent to test and where there wasn't a conviction, also in a little over 300 cases where there was a conviction. And what that backlog meant is that justice was delayed for survivors of sexual assault, and that in some cases, people who had committed serious violent offenses went unprosecuted. So we need to make sure there's not another backlog of untested sexual assault kits ever again in Wisconsin. To take that on, last year in 2019, we announced legislation with bipartisan authors that's designed to prevent a backlog. It puts clear timelines in place for when law enforcement needs to submit sexual assault kits to the crime labs. It also provides that data regarding sexual assault kits needs to be collected, and it provides for a retention period for sexual assault kits. The legislation has broad support. It's supported by the Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association. It's supported by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault and others. It passed the state Senate on a voice vote, and 56, a majority of the members of the state assembly, have co-sponsored this legislation. But Representative Joe Sanfilippo, the chair of the Health Committee, still has not held a hearing on that legislation. And there is no reason that it shouldn't go forward.
Well, he has concerns. There's some trepidation there. What are some reluctances that you're hearing out of lawmakers?
I have not heard from a single lawmaker who opposes this legislation. And I don't think any of them have publicly said that they do oppose it. There is no good reason not to go forward with this legislation, and I think it is time for him to take this up.
Let's look for at the crime lab state budget. One of the last times we talked, the state budget had been approved for more than $700,000 in additional spending to add seven more analysts to the state crime lab. What is the status of this new addition? Have these positions been hired?
My understanding is that my recollection is that the hiring process is underway for all of those positions, and that they will be filled soon. But we are working to make sure that when evidence is submitted to our crime labs, that it's turned around in a timely way, because When it's not, that can delay justice for everybody who's involved in court cases. So with those additional resources, it's going to help us work to reduce turnaround times. We got about half of the positions that we had requested in the budget, and that was based in part on a study that had been conducted by an outside group. So we have more room to go on that front, but we are moving in the right direction on the crime labs, and I think that's going to be reflected in decreased turnaround times over a period of time.
And last November, you had announced you had been able to stop the backlog of the untested sexual assault kits. Are you keeping up with them now?
Yeah, so when I took office, my predecessor had mostly completed testing on the previously untested sexual assault kits in the backlog. But there were a little over 300 kits from cases in which there was a conviction, but the state had agreed to test those kits. And so we did recently complete testing on those kits as well. Some of them are awaiting confirmed testing results, but the testing has been completed. And now making sure that we keep up with the kits is going to require a couple things. One is we need to make sure that the kits are being submitted to the crime labs in a timely fashion. And that's why the legislation we were talking about before is so important, because that will help us make sure that that happens. And then secondly, we need to make sure that our crime labs have the resources they need to turn those kits around quickly. The recent budget, as we talked about, is a big step in the right direction. But some additional resources for the crime labs will help moving forward as well.
Talking with Attorney General Josh Call, who's on the line, what questions do you have for the Attorney General? How do you think Wisconsin should be handling legal settlements involving state government? Should the Attorney General be required to receive the legislature's approval? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Attorney General Josh Call here on the Ideas Network. You're with us in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're looking at pressing Justice Department issues with State Attorney General Josh Call on the line. We're looking at issues like PFAS contamination and how state residents are affected. How do you want the Attorney General involved in efforts to regulate and clean up these so-called forever chemicals that are in state water bodies? Have you taken part in listening sessions around PFAS? What do you want to convey? How do you want the Attorney General to act in lawsuits involving state government? Join in any point, 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Attorney General, in December last month, you held a joint listening session with the DNR to address the issue of PFAS. What would you like to see happen there to address safe drinking water in Wisconsin?
That's right. We held a joint listening session, and this is an issue that has been impacting several communities around the state and has had a particularly significant impact in the Marinette and Peshtigo area. So I wanted to hear from residents of that area about exactly what it is that they're most concerned that we do as we work to remedy this. The DNR announced previously that a case had been referred to the Wisconsin Department of Justice for a potential enforcement action. And the DNR is also looking at other areas where there's potential contamination. And one of the things I want to make sure we do in seeking a remedy is making sure that the remedy that we're trying to get is one that best serves the interests of the people of that area. No question, a critical part of what we need to do is to make sure that Wisconsinites around the state, including in those areas that have been impacted certainly, have access to safe and clean drinking water. That should be a given for everybody in Wisconsin. But I also wanted to hear from people about other concerns that they had, and it was really valuable. People talked about concerns that they had about the impacts to their health. They talked about concerns they had about where PFAS might have spread, in addition to where it's been identified as having contaminated water. And so, we're going to take people's concerns into account. We're obviously going to review the facts and take the law into account, and hopefully get to a resolution that's going to be the type of resolution that is going to do the most good for people in that area and help protect clean and safe drinking water.
Let's take a call. Dave is joining us from Madison. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate the topic that we're discussing this morning, and PFAS certainly, I think, is an issue in the contamination of groundwater and soils with that. It should be an issue that everybody's concerned about. But I think over the last 40, 50, even more years, there have been a whole soup, if you will, or a stew of additional contaminants that have been, let into the environment and drinking water. And there really has been no study, very little, in my mind, action that's been taken to understand what the effects of, this mix, as I said, this stew of different chemicals is, certainly on each other within drinking water and then also within the human body. And I realize that's a tough issue to start to tackle, but anything we could do to prevent these things in the future certainly would be helpful in addition to, whatever type of punitive action we could take.
Attorney General, how can environmental law keep up with what Dave describes as a stew of chemicals and hold polluters accountable?
Well, I think what we're seeing with PFAS is a good example of where some of the challenges lie and what we need to be doing. We are still in the process of learning quite a bit about PFAS. There are a whole family of chemicals, and there are two where there's very clear scientific evidence of the harmful effects that they have, but there are lots of other variants on those compounds that we still don't know a lot about. And even with the ones we do know a lot about, figuring out exactly what levels are unsafe in the blood, for example, is something that there's more work to be done on. What I think we need to make sure we're doing is investigating whether there are harmful health effects from compounds that are going into our water supply or our food. And if there are those harmful effects, we need to make sure that that information is made public and that we're taking action to address it. And companies have a responsibility here, too. If they are adding chemicals to our water supply, our food, they need to make sure that those chemicals are safe. And if they learn that they're not, they need to take action immediately to redress that. Unfortunately, PFAS has been around for a long time. It's clear that some of these compounds cause harm. And that's now going to lead to legal actions. We need companies to get out in front of these issues if there are problems so that we make sure we're keeping people safe.
Talking with Josh Call, Attorney General of Wisconsin, we're catching up with him on a range of issues involving work at the Justice Department. Taking another call now, let's go to Steve in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi. My question has to do with open records. It appears that there's a lot of government officials, whether it's school administrators or even Governor Evers, you can probably lump him in there, who just don't follow the open records request. And I'm just wondering what the Attorney General is doing specifically to track the number of open records requests and, prosecuting, if possible, government officials who believe they're above the law and not follow open records request laws that are on the books.
Steve, thank you for the question. Attorney General?
I think it's a critical part of our democracy that we have fair and or open and transparent government. And so there are a few things that we do at the Department of Justice to help make sure that that's the case. One is we have an Office of Open Government, and that office responds to public records requests that are made to the Wisconsin Department of Justice, but it also provides guidance on public records issues to anybody who submits questions for public records advice. We also put out a guidebook annually from the Department of Justice that provides guidance on how the public records laws should be complied with. Another step we took earlier this year is, last year, we eliminated non-disclosure agreements that my predecessor had required all new DOJ employees to sign. And we've worked to increase transparency in the AG opinion writing process. The one thing I will say, though, is in some cases, responding can be a challenge because the legal analysis is that the presumption is in favor of the disclosure of public records, but a balancing test needs to be conducted to balance the burden on the government of complying with the request with the benefit to the public and disclosure. And again, public officials really need to err on the side of disclosure, but different people can apply that balancing test in good faith in different ways in some different cases. And that's one of the things that I think has led to some of the challenges we've seen. But generally speaking, it's critical that we have fair and open government. And if people do have questions, I encourage them to reach out to our Office of Open Government.
We have time for one just more quick question here regarding the opioid epidemic. You declined last year to join the multi-state settlement with the company that makes OxyContin, Purdue Pharma. You decided not to join the settlement because you said it didn't achieve justice. What is the next step here on this particular issue?
So there is a case going on right now. We filed a suit last year against two Purdue Pharma entities and Richard Sackler, who's former president and co-chair of the board of Purdue Pharma, alleging that they had engaged in false and deceptive marketing practices that contributed to the opioid epidemic. We also joined multi-state investigations into opioid distributors, and my predecessor had joined multi-state investigations into opioid manufacturers. So that's still ongoing. The suit against Purdue is part of a bankruptcy action now. Purdue has declared bankruptcy, and a number of states and also localities that have sued Purdue are part of that bankruptcy action. So those proceedings continue. What I think is critical is that we work to get justice in these cases, which to me means accountability, explaining what led to this epidemic, and getting funds recovered from those whose unlawful actions contributed to it so we can get those funds to communities across the state of Wisconsin.
We have to end
and
it.
Work to remediate this.
Right there. Thank you so much, Attorney General Josh Call, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is The Ideas Network.